Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to the very first daily radio broadcast of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Now, don't go anywhere, because today I am going to share with you my personal story and the origins of the doctor, the nurse, and the mama in the title of this show and what it all means. From my very first appearance on American Family Radio, you all have made me feel so welcomed that I was just left with the question of, okay, family, like, where do I bring the casserole? But in all seriousness, although today I'm going to tell you about me, this show is really all about you. I see you all right now, listening while waiting in the carpool line at your kid's school, listening in from work while you're multitasking, listening while you're taking a walk or trying to exercise, or maybe you're listening because a friend sent this to you and said, hey, you really need to hear this. Some of you I know are walking down Easy Street with everything pretty calm. And some of you, like me, are juggling more than you think you can handle, but you don't know what can possibly give. Some of you are walking through some deep valleys, struggling with conflict, mental health struggles, financial pressures, maybe even something as serious as betrayal or grief or some other secret. But you are here listening right now, I know, because you are truth tellers. You are hope seekers. You are legacy builders. You are stewarding the physical, emotional, and spiritual development of the next two generations. That's Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And you have the incredible opportunity to raise up a generation that is courageous and resilient. We can intentionally shape our children's worldview. And this is what I want to do on this show, y'all. This is what we are going to be about. We are not going to adopt a fear-based stance. In today's world, it can be so easy to be so afraid of so many things, but we are not going to be fear-based. We're going to be faith-informed. That is the heartbeat of this show. And for this journey, we are going to need each other. I want you to know that you have already been thought about and prayed for way before you turned on this program. In fact, an army of prayer warriors gathered in my in-laws' living room to lift you up. We've already done that. Families today are fighting a tidal wave of cultural change where our kids are being told to live their truth, whatever that means, and that truth is relative. They're scared and they're confused. And truth be told, we're scared and confused too. But this is what I want you to hear. There are families out there just like you whose life's ambition is to raise healthy families who love God and serve others, who hold tight to their values and have confidence in their convictions. I know this because I've had the honor of working with families just like yours for the last 25 years as a nurse and 20 as a nurse practitioner. So on the one hand, I meet families in their deepest points of need behind closed doors, and I know for a fact that things are not always what they appear. In this social media world, we tend to have a grass is greener sort of approach when we look at families reflected in our social media feed. But in reality, in my clinic, the cheerful-looking teen in a softball uniform with her mom is actually suicidal. And the teen boy limping into my exam room in pain doesn't have a football injury like he said, but really a painful chemical burn in his nether regions after trying a personal grooming recommendation he saw on TikTok. Now, that's a true story. The perfect-looking family admired in the community is actually going through a bitter divorce. The girl who seems like she has it all together is secretly sexting and spiraling and desperate for help and for hope. These are all real stories from real families with real needs in real time. You need to know that on this show, we are not going to shy away from talking about some really tough stuff. On the other hand, you need to know there are families who are far from perfect, but they are healthy. There's conflict that's being worked through. There's bad habits being addressed. There are mistakes that are being forgiven. Having a healthy, thriving family isn't just a pipe dream for you. It is an attainable reality, but it will require a new mindset and a new skill set. You can't lecture your way to leverage behavioral change. You can't argue your way into right relationship. And if what you're doing right now isn't working, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and try something new. This requires your most valuable commodity, your time. It's going to take hard work and it takes patience. Healthy relationships don't grow trees. And if we're honest, we treat parenting like we are growing a chia pet. We want a little effort, put it in the sun, water it once, and like magic, in 2 days we have a plant. In reality, parenting is like growing a pineapple. It takes 2 years from the time you plant a seed to see it actually growing. And in the meantime, we water, we put it in the sun, we protect it from destructive elements, and we wait with expectation. Planting and harvesting don't happen in the same seasons. We have to be confident that the seeds we are planting will grow. Our kids need to see that confidence radiating from our eyes, because what we believe about them, they will become. Not too long ago, when I was picking up my youngest son from school, I overheard him tell his friend that yes, I was his mom, and that yes, I was a famous nurse. His friend said rather skeptically, "Oh yeah, how do you know that?" And my son simply said, "I asked Alexa." Sadly, my friends, that's today's standard of fame, I suppose. And it's true. If you look up my nursing career, you will see I have been blessed with much success. I am an internationally recognized nurse leader. I've advised Congress. I've written legislation, testified in bill hearings. I've published more than 50 articles in scientific journals, along with a handful of academic textbooks. I've built anti-trafficking coalitions all over the world, and I've personally educated almost 100,000 nurses on human trafficking, which still just is unbelievable to me. I have 5 academic nursing degrees, including an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree as a pediatric nurse practitioner, a postmaster's degree in nursing education, and a doctor of nursing practice degree. I have 3 national certifications as a clinician, educator, and leader. I'm a fellow in both the American Association of Nurse Practitioners and the American Academy of Nursing, and I'm a 2-time Hall of Fame inductee for Article of the Year. Now, this sounds so uncomfortable for me to say, but these are the facts, and it's completely fair for you to know my pedigree and credentials if you're going to be tuning into this show. But listen, what I'm about to say is so much more important than that. Those things that I shared with you represent where I am today. But it is so, so, so very far from where I started. And my journey has given me hope that I want to share with you. Now, where I started was as a lonely, very timid, and soft-spoken girl with terribly broken family relationships, estranged from her parents in the most painful circumstance, with deep childhood wounds and unhealed trauma. And that's where I started. As a student, I started struggling in a community college nursing program, and I actually wanted to go to Baylor University. I had been there once on a church trip, but without the internet and with no financial resources, I had no accessible path because no woman in my family had ever gotten a 4-year degree. As a mom, I started out insecure, deeply anxious, became a mom of 4. My oldest turned 13. We found ourselves in perpetual conflict until one day she literally threw a book at my head in anger while I was driving. These are all the stories that I share with you in my book, Behind Closed Doors, a guide to help parents and teens navigate life's toughest issues. Now, today, as a professor, I'm really alarmed about the research emerging on the current status of mental and physical health in children today. I see a deeply anxious and depressed generation of children becoming disconnected from their parents. And as parents, we want to help. We want to do the right thing, but we don't know what that is. And we have so many voices in our ear telling us conflicting things. And a lot of these are sources we trust. It's hard. As a pediatric nurse practitioner, I see what's going on behind closed doors with families in crisis at their greatest point of need in a place they never imagined they'd be. And as a parent myself, I see my own kids at home struggling. I know the pain and heartbreak of wanting so badly to be a good parent, but feeling like you're failing miserably. So, for me as a full professor with academic freedom, newly finding myself at a faith-based university, and being a mom in the trenches with four kids who had taken a healing journey of my own, it led me to realize I had the knowledge, the skill set, and the experience to engage, equip, encourage, and empower parents. That led to the birth of Dr. Nurse Mama, my professor brain, hands-on nursing experience, and my heart as a mom to be a guide on the side. Are you seeing it now? So let's break down that Dr. Nurse Mama name for you. I'm going to take it backwards because the mama part is the most important to me and the heartbeat of everything I do. Let me go back to the opening scene of my book, Behind Closed Doors, and read you the opening lines. I'm going to go back to that moment where my daughter threw the book at my head. So let me put you in that moment and tell you that story. I was in the driver's seat of my car, having a recurrent and heated argument with my then 13-year-old daughter who was in the back seat, when it happened. Something heavy whooshed past my shoulder, centimeters from my face. To my utter amazement and anger, my daughter had thrown the book she was reading right at my face while I was driving. My mind raced a million miles an hour in shock as I frantically pulled over. What in the world? Surely my adored and angelic daughter did not just hurl a book at my head. I was thinking, how could more than a decade of painstaking parenting effort with my expertise as a pediatric nurse practitioner arrive at this rude awakening? Days before, she had left a handwritten manifesto on my pillow, outlining my many shortcomings in painstaking detail. I didn't give her enough freedom to choose her clothes or her friends. I was uncaring. I didn't trust her. I embarrassed her. But most of all, I didn't understand the challenges she was facing in, quote, modern times, end quote, as I was raised in what she said was literally the previous century. And you know what? She wasn't wrong. My thoughts returned to the present as I tearfully put the car in park. Am I a fraud? A failure? Am I crossing over into the much-discussed, miserable abyss of parenting a teen? Will I pass on generational trauma and lose my carefully cultivated relationship with my daughter, my single greatest fear? I pulled over. I took deep breaths, and I did the most important thing by far I had learned to do as a mom. I prayed, tearfully, loudly, and I made a life-altering decision. In that moment, I committed to do everything humanly possible to reverse my family trend and beat the odds. I did. I still get emotional about it. My relationship with my mother became strained in my teen years before completely crumbling in early adult years with no recovery. Although I had advanced professional knowledge of pediatrics, I certainly had no personal role model for parenting a teen, no wisdom to gain from my relationship with my parents, no parental support on which to rely. But God, my favorite phrase in the history of ever. Now, I was raised in a world that revolved around family and church, and I'm so grateful for my heritage of faith. I grew up in the era of modesty culture, purity rings and abstinence pledges, youth camp trust falls, WWJD bracelets, sword drills, kissing, dating goodbye, and edgy modern songs like Our God is an Awesome God. Some of you are having flashbacks, I know. Although conversation about faith was frequent, conversation about personal matters was unthinkable. And after this break, I'm going to share with you what point of crisis I came to and how I learned to strengthen my own faith. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the very first episode of the Dr. Nurse Mama Radio Show. And even though I promise you this show is all about you, I'm going to start by telling you all about me and how God has led me to this point. And so if you were listening before the break, I was telling you my story of growing up. And so I'm going to pick back up right where we left off. And in this time when I was in high school and just about to graduate and trying to figure out what I was going to do, everything in my life at that time seemed categorized into good and bad. And it was very legalistic. I felt an inescapable pressure and the absence of authentic parental relationships to hold an unattainable standard of a perfect public image. I experienced crippling yet inexplicable guilt complex. This crushing sense of inadequacy fed a perpetual shame of hypocrisy. It was debilitating for me, honestly, and I didn't see a path to relationship restoration outside of immediate and unquestioning compliance. So I chased a brutal and unrelenting standard of perfection, trying to be the good girl to somehow earn approval, to somehow earn love. And that legalistic approach to remain above reproach left me perceived as unrelatable, unapproachable, and honestly, just plain unlikable. I lost myself. My deepest desire was to be known and loved and to have a parental relationship filled with acceptance and affection and understanding. But instead, because of past trauma that my family had experienced, I encountered rejection and isolation and disapproval of any hopes of going to school. I longed for the freedom to pursue an education. I was bright, but I didn't have any accessible university path. And in my wildest dreams, I could only imagine myself as a woman being a nurse or a teacher. Conflict over my choice to go to community college for nursing escalated until one day I found myself at my granny's house, desperate and silently begging for what I didn't even know. I was then accustomed to living in my parents' garage with few creature comforts, and I was working three jobs to pay for school, for rent, for transportation and food, all of which made my granny's extra bedroom, her private bath, and her encouraging words seem like an oasis. Now, my granny is the type of woman who, when I would go to her house, she would have her guidepost open on the bathroom counter to the right day with her tithing check as a bookmark. She was such a great woman of faith. And in the morning, she made a lavish breakfast for me with a formal table setting using real plates and real silverware, and I couldn't even bring myself to entertain the hope that I could stay. And I found myself grateful just for the momentary reprieve. And I picked up the blue checkered cloth napkin to place in my lap. And my eyes started to see the image of a key on the table right next to my plate. And my face lifted to my granny's with the audacity of a single spark of fragile hope. And with no words, she simply nodded affirmation of her support. She gave me a place to stay and emotional support when I had neither, and we knew it would cost her. But that key that she gave me unlocked more than the door to my new home. It opened the door to a new future I couldn't have ever dared to imagine. If you look at my nursing school transcript, you'll see that my track record of all C's magically transformed into all A's after living with my granny. It's never lost on me the power we have to give by simply giving emotional support to our kids. I was raised in a working class family, and like I said, no woman in my family had gone to college. And when I first started this, I don't know if any of you out there did an ACTeen program with the missions, with the church. Well, I did that, and they told me, oh, they'll give you a scholarship to go to Baylor. So I did this whole program thinking that if you do it, then you go to Baylor. I had no idea that $1,000 was not enough money to go to college. And so because, again, I couldn't imagine myself as anything but a teacher or a nurse, and the community college didn't give teaching degrees, I found myself in nursing school. Now, my number one goal in all of nursing school was to be absolutely fully invisible. I would pray on my way to school, God, let me get through this day without anybody seeing me. And I wanted to be invisible because I think secretly I was afraid that if someone saw me, they would recognize what I felt deep inside, that I didn't really belong there. So on my first day of clinical, I thought I was going to do geriatrics. I had been volunteering at a nursing home, and the nurses gave me this sweet little old lady. And I went into her room, and she was very tiny, and she was sleeping. And I started praying at the end of her bed, and I thought I was just going to give her the best day that she had ever had. I would paint her nails and read to her and, you know, maybe find her a new husband, because it was early in nursing school. We hadn't learned to do anything else. And this woman woke up and started cursing at me using curse word combinations I did not even know were possible. And she was screaming at me to take out her dentures. Now, I didn't know how to do this, but I figured it couldn't be that hard. So I put on gloves, put my hand in her mouth, and as you can guess, she bit down. But she did not let go. I had to call the nurse emergency call button. The nurses wrapped tape around tongue depressors and pried her jaws open to get my hand out. And they looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm just taking out her dentures." And they said, "Honey, this lady doesn't have dentures." And that hateful old woman, she started laughing and laughing at me. And long story short, I ended up in pediatrics. The diapers were smaller and the patients were nicer. But by the grace of God, during that time, I graduated and met my amazingly supportive husband. I have the joy of being married to a real-life rocket scientist who is amused at the perception that I am the smart one in this relationship. He met a 19-year-old mediocre college nursing student barely scraping by, and my biggest accomplishment in life was the fact I was wearing scrubs at my job. I don't know why that was a big deal to me at the time, but it was. Our first date was ice skating, and brilliant move for a guy who played hockey in college and had his own skates to take a Texas girl ice skating. I had a death grip on his arm all night long. He asked me for another date, and I asked him about his faith and if he was a Christian. He told me he wasn't sure, but he asked me to explain. We ended up pulling over so that he could pray, and he asked the Lord to come into his heart, immediately followed by a request for another date. I was skeptical. I told him I didn't think that was a good idea, but he was welcome to come to church with me. The next Sunday, I'm telling you, he beat the janitor there and arrived before the doors were even unlocked. His life was completely transformed from that moment on, and that miracle's. That's a story I'll share with you another time. After we got married, he encouraged my seemingly impossible dream to get a baccalaureate degree. Truth be told, I was too scared. Think about if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof, like unthinkable, absurd. But he strongly felt God leading us and told me he would get a master's degree while I got my bachelor's degree and we would go together. And we did. He picked me up from work every night and took me to school. At this time, I was working for my former pediatrician, and we just got on famously. He built my confidence, and he encouraged me to go back and become a pediatric nurse practitioner. Now, during this time, y'all, my amazing husband, I was still too scared to go back to school by myself, so he got a second master's degree while I got my first. And during that program, in one of my classes, we were required to do something called a genogram. It was a family tree that displayed health patterns. And we tracked things like heart disease and cancer, but to my shock, I saw clearly in front of me that addiction ran through my family like a strangling vine. And for those spared by personal addiction, I realized it wasn't enough to simply remove the addicting substance, to not drink or to not use substances. But without intentional replacement, the destructive relational patterns remain. And this was something that it was going to take me years to unravel. And truth be told, I'm still working on it. Now, as I grew in my professional role as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I couldn't wait to be a mom. But my early years as a parent were marked by deep insecurities, desperate to spare my children from the pain that I had endured. Truthfully, I felt like a fraud. Here I was advising people about how to raise their kids, and I felt like I was failing miserably. One day, I sat in our house in our recliner, weeping over broken family relationships, and my husband got a digital camera and came out and took a photo of me in that moment. I felt so betrayed. I was angry, truth be told, and I said, "Why would you do that?" But he turned the camera around, and he showed me that picture, and he lovingly told me this was what our young children saw every day. me mourning, watching real life passing me by, while I wept for the life I've never had, and I would never have. Something shifted in me that day, and I vowed to be present. That day, I came to the crushing revelation that perfection is not attainable, real love is not earned, and it just was no longer my job in life to protect other people from the consequences of their own actions. So this has been really, really hard as I continue to have broken family relationships, although I'll tell you, God has been so good to restore those along the way. He has restored so many broken relationships, and you will be hearing from some of my siblings in the future, and I can't wait to share more of that story. I also recognize that even though I had very important professional skill sets that are helpful, you want to know the honest truth? It's not enough. I could not rely on those resources alone to help me be a good mom. I needed to grow my own personal faith. I needed a community of faith to hold me accountable and to provide support. So those professional skills and knowledge, they were helpful, but without the faith integration, they really didn't mean anything. Now, going back to that infamous day in the car with my daughter, I knew there were challenges ahead, but I had no clue of the enormous and unprecedented struggles waiting for us around the bend. I didn't know a thing about social media, vaping, sexting, cyberbullying, social justice, or, the thing we all hate, the dreaded COVID-19 pandemic. But what I did know is that I would be prepared to help my kids navigate whatever came their way. What started as a book thrown at me became a new story of building healthy relationships with my teens. It wasn't the end of the road for us, but the start of a new and beautiful adventure. We have navigated together some of the toughest challenges facing families today, and God has laid it on my heart to share those lessons from that journey with you, the personal and the professional, the good and the humiliatingly bad, the utterly mundane and the truly miraculous. Now, at this point, I really started to think, hey, I've got it all. I was working part-time in clinical practice and part-time in education. I had a really flexible schedule that allowed me to be a mom. I had a great mother-in-law helping me watch my kids when I was working. And I took my love of pediatrics seriously, having 4 babies in just over 5 years. And I guess I was what many might call a self-made woman, going from that complete denture failure to a skilled pediatric clinician, with a really great life, and I was pretty happy. I was starting a healing journey from things I had experienced in childhood, and I was acquiring a new mindset and a new skill set. But as I trusted in the Lord with all my heart, He was making my path straight and preparing me for things I had not yet even dared to dream about. So about 15 years ago, my husband, he works in aerospace, and his job was unsure at the time. So we decided I would get my doctoral degree so that we could stay in Houston around our family. It wasn't spiritual as much as it was practical, but there were 0 of these doctoral programs in Texas and it required me to go out of state. And so I chose the University of Alabama. Oh, for all of you out there who are not University of Alabama fans, I won't say the other universities, just please forgive me and accept me anyway. Once again, though, old familiar feel returned. Absurd. And this time my husband said, no more degrees for me. You're on your own, babe. I was an expert in clinical practice and an educator, and I was publishing and speaking, and I was finding my voice, but it was really scary. And truth be told, the first time I got on that plane to go to Alabama, I'd never flown anywhere by myself. I asked the TSA agent if I could stand by them until the plane left because I was so scared. But through that, again, I started to find my voice, and I found myself in Washington, D.C. for the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, meeting our senator for the first time, Ted Cruz. This was right after he first got elected, and he had just done his green eggs and ham fame. So he was very famous, and I was very intimidated. And as I walked into that room with my assignment of what I was supposed to talk to him about in nursing, I just felt my knees shaking. And as I looked at him, he walked into the room, and of course, you know, he has a very commanding presence. And as I looked at him as a nurse, I saw that his pants were very wrinkled across the knees, like he was maybe, you know, living without other help. You know, he was on his own in Washington, D.C., and they weren't ironed. And it just hit me that this is just a man who puts his pants on one leg at a time. And so I talked with him, and that established a long start of advocacy for me in my career. And as I was walking down the steps of the Capitol, I thought, I did it. I've done it. I did. I can't believe I did it. And I want to tell you, friends, that God just stopped me right there on the steps of the Capitol. And he said, I am with you. Is that enough? Can't be your husband. Can't be your job. Can't be, you know, any of the creature comforts that you have. If you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and go with me, are you willing to give me everything? And that's how I found myself in the halls of Congress and on television and leading global nursing influence. And I had no idea then that the best was yet to come. As I was dreaming and trusting the Lord with all my heart, he was making my path straight, a path that would lead me to a book and a radio show. And I'll tell you the end of that story at the other end of this break.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, thanks so much for joining us on this very first episode of the Dr. Nurse Mama Radio Show. It has been a joy and an honor to be able to spend time with you this afternoon and to share with you my story and what has brought me to your listening ear. And if you were listening in the first two segments, I have told my personal story of and professional story of how God has positioned me to walk as a guide on the side with parents, because I've walked in your shoes. And as I was telling you about my professional journey and thinking, where was God going to take me next? Little did I know that we were going to go on a book writing adventure. And actually, how that all started was in the fall of 2019, I found myself very unexpectedly through a set of miraculous circumstances at a faith-based university, at Baylor University. And the wonderful thing about that was that I had the freedom to step out onto a faith-based platform and to really share my integration of faith in health. And that was really exciting to me. And I had a group reach out to me and say, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, oh, about what? And they said, well, that's up to you. And I thought, well, at that time, of course, I was very much, I'd been 10 years an anti-trafficking advocate and thinking, should I write about human trafficking? And this was right at the start of quarantine, right on the day that the world shut down. And I went out into my backyard with my Bible and a pen and a journal. And I feel like God just gave me a vision and opened up the landscape. I knew what pediatric practice was like. I knew what it was like when I started, and I knew what it was like at that time. And I knew that it didn't look anything like it had. And the problems that I was facing in clinic were nothing like problems we had learned about in school. And I knew that COVID-19 was going to be a dramatic social, emotional, and psychological injury to kids, and that parents were going to need help. So I opened my journal and I started to write, and within an hour, I had completely outlined the book, Behind Closed Doors, a guide to help parents and teens navigate through life's toughest issues. Now, that book became the number one new release on Amazon for parenting books, and that includes all parenting books, not just faith-based parenting books. And it was such a harbinger of encouragement to me to know that there are families who desperately want to raise their kids to love God and to serve others. So from that book, I created a podcast on my website, and that was picked up by American Family Radio. And then now we have the radio show, and that here I am today on the radio with you. I am absolutely confident there is hope for escaping secrecy, stigma, and shame. Surrounding challenging moments in parenting today, we can find freedom and honest conversations grounded in Christ. Your kids do not need you to be a perfect parent. There's not one. No such thing exists. They need you to be a present parent who is going to be there in all the ups and downs of life. Often we joke about the challenges facing us today as parents, but humor is a coping mechanism for pain. And underneath that, we are hurting. We are confused. We are scared. And the truth is, we didn't encounter the things that our kids are encountering today that are creating a perfect storm of external cultural influence, ineffective coping mechanisms, and disconnection from real dialogue and intentional relationship building, and attack on our faith and our values and our very way of being. But as parents and grandparents, and anyone who is invested in this next generation of kids, we can use our old school wisdom in collaboration with their fresh perspective to create opportunities for meaningful conversations that build healthy relationships. Because there's a disconnect between what we want the world to look like for our kids and what it actually looks like. And so we have to think about, what parenting style do we have? There is a lot of talk about helicopter parenting, hovering over to make sure that our kids are protected, or a lawnmower and making sure that everything is manicured, or a bulldozer that knocks down every obstacle they might encounter. Or I hear a lot of talk about gatekeeping and protecting our kids from every negative influence. Now listen, that's a great defensive strategy, but we need an offensive strategy as well. And what kids need today is a coach. They need a good, tough coach who will make sure the practice environment is safe, who will push them when they need to be pushed, who will make them rest when they need to rest, who will celebrate victories and learn from defeat. And we have to know that we cannot expect instant gratification from our children. This is a long process. You don't, even thinking about a coach, you don't learn a skill in one practice. It takes time and repetition. And the honest truth is, it's not our kids' purpose in life to validate our parenting choices. We bring our own generational trauma into parenting that gives us significant insecurities. You know, that was my story. I just shared that with you. But the truth is, the healthy relationship building takes a significant and intentional investment of time and energy that pays off to the level of even impacting the DNA of generations to come. Yes, I'm going to be talking about that, how healing our own trauma impacts our DNA. That's how amazingly and marvelously we are designed. But you can't buy it or hire it out. It's you and only you that your children want and need. You plant a seed and you may not see that sprout until 2 years down the road, but wow, is that a wonderful moment. We invest what we think is wise, and we confidently and expectantly wait for the harvest. Our kids need to know that we believe in them. So that's basically me in a nutshell. The doctor is a professor with an academic mindset in touch with the latest research and foremost pediatric experts. The nurse is a nurse practitioner at heart who deeply appreciates the body, mind, and soul connection, emphasizes holistic health, and my nursing heartbeat is for prevention and health promotion. And as a mom of four in the trenches with all of you, whose life's work is to be the best mama I can be to the four best gifts God has ever gifted me, I want to steward the legacy of their future with all the grace and courage I can muster. And I know I can only do that with God's strength and wisdom. So if you're here still listening and you've listened to this whole program, that tells me your heart also aches for the same thing. You want to be a good parent, but like me, we're afraid our failures will scar our kids for life. When we were growing up, our parents basically just had to keep us alive, right? Be back before dark, they said, and we were, after we spent the day looking for coins and riding miles alone on our bikes and drinking from the hose. And our parents didn't raise an eyebrow or make us wear seatbelts. But today, parent pressure starts before birth, with expectations for the perfect Facebook Live gender reveal party, Pinterest-worthy baby shower. Let me tell you, when I went to my kindergartner's Christmas party, I thought, this party is nicer than my wedding reception. What happened to Kool-Aid and cookies? I can't even believe it. But the truth is that society is changing dramatically at a critical point in child development, and it will permanently shape them. But we have the opportunity to step into that and to be the most important influence our kids will have. Now, this radio show right here, it is going to help you start investing in the journey and prepare you to turn tragic moments navigating life's challenges into triumphs. You need to know as you're listening that first and foremost, I am a Christ follower. I will share how faith informs and influences my nursing practice and worldview. My life's ambition is to know God's voice and follow it, and my own dreams are pitiful substitutes to the plans God had for me. If you told me back on the day of the book throwing, I'd be an international nurse leader and writing a book for parents and have my own radio show, I likely would have referred you for mental health care. So there's that. The information in this show is meant to be a general guide and shouldn't be considered personal medical advice. Every family are so unique, and it's just not possible to address each individual circumstance. And I know there's a lot of fear right now about connecting to a healthcare provider. And I want to use this show to help you find someone that you trust and of equal importance, someone you like. Primary healthcare is critical. You need someone on your team that is going to help you make those decisions. And I'll be giving you tips and guiding you with along the way with tips on when to schedule a visit and what to expect when you do schedule a visit and what your rights are as parents. What this show will help you do is to strengthen your understanding of the realities that your children are facing today. It will help you boost your communication skills to talk about uncomfortable things in a very comfortable way. It will raise your confidence to know how to navigate the healthcare system, when to make an appointment, and what to expect, like I told you. It will enhance your own healing journey to prevent your hurt from becoming your child's hurt. It will expand your tools and resources to help you cultivate empathy and courage in leading your children. And it will increase your ability to change the way your DNA is read and transcribed in your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren, investing in a generational legacy. And most of all, I hope that it will renew your hope for building a healthy family with soul-deep connection and building a legacy of kids who love God and serve others. Now, there's three things that you can do to get engaged with the show. The first thing I would ask you to do is to join us in praying. I firmly believe in the power of prayer. Prayer works. Prayer changes everything. And so I encourage you to pray for the show. Pray for the guests who come on. Pray for those who are listening, that they would have hearts to receive and that people would find the hope that they need. The second thing you can do is invite a friend to listen in and then talk about what we're talking about on the show. You have no idea how many parents are struggling secretly, and they're just looking for a lifeline. They're just looking for an open door for communication. And sometimes sharing your struggle or sharing a resource that you have can change their lives in ways that you don't even know are possible. I can't even begin to tell you how many readers and listeners that I've heard from who've said, "Someone put this book in my hands. Someone put this show in my hands. And it literally saved our family's life," because it's access to hope. That's what people want. The third thing that you can do is get your copy of Behind Closed Doors and show the world that there are parents who are deeply invested in engaging in a faith-based community of parents. I would love to connect with you and share more of my heart with you on that. Now, about the book, I have to tell you and give you a disclaimer. It is way more than a self-help book. It is an active experiential field guide. It is a Jumanji-style parenting adventure with hands-on practical application. It is a practical guide for parents, and it doesn't matter if you don't have teens yet. That's great. If you don't have teens yet, let me tell you, you are ahead of the game, and you can start working on some of those things on you that will help you become a stronger and wiser and more gracious parent, I promise, because I started way back behind when my oldest was 13. But this is not something you read, it's something you experience. And the book is divided into three sections. I have Behind the Clinic Door, where I give you professional advice for parents on tough teenage issues from a health impact lens and share true stories of patients. I give you Behind the Home Door with suggested settings and activities and question prompts to give parents conversation keys to unlock doors for open dialogue with your family. And Behind the Heart Door, because when you listen and you see to what our kids are facing, it will make your heart hurt. And I want to take really good care of your heart with devotional readings and Bible verses and scripture-based prayers and Christian music playlists and legacy letters, which would be a great opportunity for grandparents. So in closing, I want to share these words of encouragement. One of my favorite scriptures is from Lamentations, and the scripture says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." And friends, in today's day and age, it can be easy to be consumed by fear, to be consumed by confusion, to be consumed by voices that are speaking into our world. But we can know that we are not consumed because God's compassions never fail. God is a perfect father who has compassion for what his imperfect children are enduring. And I encourage you to have compassion for yourself, an imperfect parent with perfect children. But God, my favorite phrase in the history of ever, I pray God's blessings over you and your families. The work will be hard, the tears will be many, and the frustrations will be frequent. But in taking this journey, the rewards will be immeasurable. I'll be praying for your family as you begin this journey. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.